Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We got a lot coming up on the show. A big Hugh breakdown coming up in about an hour about Nolan Smith. What an incredible playoff performance by the young Eagles pass rusher. We'll get to the A.J. Brown stuff, the book, maybe a little reading Gillo coming up in a little bit, and we will look at Wildcard Weekend as a whole and decide who we want to see on Sunday with the Vikings and the Rams. They'll play tonight that game in Arizona. Because, of course, of moving to the neutral site with the tragedies and the fires out in the Los Angeles area. Right now, we go to the guest line. The guy that was on the call yesterday for a playoff victory, 22-10 over the Green Bay Packers, Merrill Reese joins us. Good morning, Merrill.
Good morning. Feeling good today about the fact that there is still football.
Yes, there is. We get at least one more, and I'm expecting at least another one after that. Merrill, let's talk about yesterday and really the tone that was set right from the jump, Merrill. The opening kickoff, Oren Burks, what a hit and what a game-changing play there.
Yeah, it was. When you score in the first 2 minutes like that with a fumble in the opening kickoff, that just sets a great tone.
It did. And it was, Merrill, it was a very physical game yesterday. Hugh has mentioned this a few times today. Just, you know, from that play and then, you know, a little bit later in the game, you know, Nolan Smith coming around and taking on a block of a Packers offensive lineman. That player, Jenkins, was out after that. And it just felt like it became a very physical football game right from the jump.
Well, it did become physical. And there was a lull during that game where I felt that the Eagles should be way up. But the fact of the matter is, there was never a point that I felt that they weren't going to win. I mean, I know they got within 6 points. The Packers did at one point. But I honestly felt that everything was under control all the way. It was a very comfortable first win.
I agree with that. And you know, the score may have dictated, uh-oh, they're only up a score here. But every time they needed to respond, they did. And, Merrill, the one thing that gave me comfort, even when the game was close-ish, is this defense, Merrill. They've done it all year. They did it yesterday. That's a Packers offense that I know they were down some people, but they had averaged 27 points a game this year, and they didn't even come close to that. Just a dominant effort by this whole defense.
Yeah, it's a great defense. The only thing that makes me upset is the fact that they obviously have lost Nakobe Dean for probably the rest of the season, the rest of the playoffs. And that's a shame because I thought he was all over the field making plays. He has had a very special season.
Yeah, it is a shame, and the reports are coming in that this is the end of the season for Nakobe Dean. Even that play yesterday, I mean, he got hurt making a great play, blowing up a screen pass. So it continued right to the end for him. Merrill, what stood out yesterday for me on the defensive side was the play of Nolan Smith. It's been so much fun watching him grow up this year, Merrill, because last year he didn't play much. Early this season, wasn't much of an impact, but I don't know. I think it was around that Cleveland game that started to hit me that he's starting to make an impact here. And yesterday, I mean, he was all over. He's the youngest Eagle to have two sacks in a playoff game in history. I mean, he was really impactful yesterday.
You know, he is a great player. And last year, people were almost ready to use the B word about him being picked at the end of the first round. But Vic Fangio, to his credit, came in at the very beginning of the summer, and he said he is a good player. He is getting better. He felt he was very, very confident in him, and it seems like every game he has a sack. He is a really impactful player.
Yeah, that play where he ran on the inside and then ran outside to get Jordan Love was awesome. Merrill, let's talk about the offense. So the turnover early gets him the ball in a short field, and they score on a touchdown pass from Hurts to Jahan Dotson. Merrill, I can't remember, and I was asking Hugh if he could, and we can't think of one, where a quarterback sat in the pocket for 7 seconds. You know, sometimes a quarterback will run around, like the Donovan play in Dallas all those years ago. But to be able to sit in the pocket for 6.75,
yeah,
whatever
no.
It was, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, in the earlier game, I saw that happen with Josh Allen in Buffalo, where he sat back there and finally let it go. It was the same thing here with Jalen Hurts had all day, and finally Jahan Dotson cleared in the back of the end zone. You know, I wish they'd throw a little more to Jahan Dotson. I know they have great, great receivers, but Jahan Dotson is a very tough receiver, and he can be utilized a lot. We saw it last week when he was used with the backups, but he's a good player.
Well, that was that. He made a big play. I mean, that started the game yesterday, and we've been waiting for it, and there he did it. All right, Merrill, let's talk about Jalen and overall how he played. So, it's interesting. When the week started, I think we thought, there's probably going to be some rust. He hasn't played in a while, coming off the concussion. But he did start 6 for 6, including the touchdown. But then I think you used the word a lull. Mero felt like there was an hour, maybe more of real time, where they didn't complete a pass, but then they let it drive and Jalen throw the ball to Goddard and they score again. What did you make of Jalen's performance yesterday?
He did what he had to do. He controlled the game. He did not turn over the football. That's the amazing thing about Jalen Hurts. He does not give up the football. And this one word that describes Jalen Hurts better than any other: winner. On every level in which he's ever played, he is a winner. I think next to Patrick Mahomes, he has the single most wins in the National Football League over the past 4 years. He wins games. He has confidence. It's spread among his teammates. And when he has to make a play, he makes a play. He made a play yesterday that kind of went unnoticed, but he raced to his left as hard as he could go to his left, and then he pivoted around and threw a strike to Devontae Smith down the left sideline. That is a very, very difficult pass to make, and yet he was right on target, and then, of course, he read the blitz and hit Dallas Goedert for the touchdown. He did what he had to do.
Yeah,
you know, and if you look at the internet and you see the people talking and evaluating quarterbacks, they rave. They turn Justin Herbert into Superman, and yet he goes and throws 4 interceptions, and he's never won a game in the preseason.
Well, and you look through the games this weekend, Merrill. If you kind of remove the Baltimore and the Buffalo game, because those were pretty lopsided, the other three games that had some, you know, they were questionable who would win or how it would go, or was kind of tight at times. The quarterback that turned the ball over lost, right? Yesterday was Jordan Love. And last night, Baker Mayfield had a big fumble at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, you mentioned Herbert. And yesterday, it was obvious. I mean, Jordan Love was turning the ball over left and right, and Jalen did not. That's the one thing that even if it feels choppy, I would say about week 5, Merrill, he really has done an amazing job protecting the football. Very rarely puts it in harm's way.
And you cannot underestimate, you cannot overestimate that, because it means so much. It means so much. Turnovers kill. We always say that turnovers kill. And that's what killed the Packers yesterday.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, Jordan Love had a lot of them, way too many. All right, Merrill, let's look forward to Sunday, and we'll find out tonight who the Eagles are going to play. Merrill, what do you think about this game tonight? Rams and Vikings, it's been moved to Arizona because of the unfortunate fires in Southern California. Do you have a preference who you want to see the Eagles play? What do you think tonight?
Well, my preference is I'd like to see them play the Rams, because they handled the Rams quite easily in California. My thought is that they're going to play the Vikings, because I think the Vikings are the better team, and I think the Vikings will come here next Sunday, and it will be a very, very tough game.
I tend to agree with you on both of those. I'd rather play the Rams, but I think we're getting the Vikings at 3 o'clock next Sunday. Merrill, have a great week. We'll talk to you on the pregame, and it's going to be fun regardless of who they play on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I feel good about the way this team is. I think they have really, really risen at the right time. They keep getting stronger, and I feel very good about them. Their coaching is great. I just think they have a great roster, and they're doing well. So let's keep our optimism, because there's a lot of reason for that. But it's going to be tough. Each step is going to be tough. But if they keep playing the way they're playing, they're going to be fine.
No doubt. Merrill, have a great week. We'll talk to you Sunday in the pregame.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Merrill Reese there, excited about it, and he wants to see the Rams on Sunday. All right, so Merrill, he said it to us there. Let's react to it, and you alluded to it earlier, but the news is coming in through all the different reporters this morning. It's what we thought. N'Kobe Dean, it's a significant knee injury. He is out for the remainder of the postseason. I don't know what this means for the offseason, for next year. We'll see how significant of a procedure he might need, but Hugh, let's just keep it in the moment. It's a big loss with N'Kobe now out.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a signal caller. He's the guy that lines everybody up, man, and he was having one hell of a season. And to lose that part of your defense, that's going to be kind of tough. You know, the one thing that makes this defense unique to me is the speed and their ability to cover. You saw a little bit of that was in jeopardy yesterday when N'Kobe went out. You know, so there's something where, you know, there might be a weakness in this defense, but what that means to me is when I think about that, that means that everybody up front has to pick it up just a little bit more to try to cover up for that deficiency of not having N'Kobe Dean out there.
So they're going to miss him. So I have two thoughts on this. One, my first, I just feel bad for him. He's had so many
injuries. He's had so many injuries, man, and I'm pretty sure, you know, I've reached out to him this morning. That we don't really say a whole lot. I just sent him, you know, told him to keep his head up and stay focused, and that was about it. But you talk about the tumultuous time that he's had here, man, and it feels like, I'm pretty sure for him, and it has been, every year he's been banged up.
Yep.
You know, and he's had to miss some significant time, so it has to be frustrating for him. But like I said, prayers are with him, man, and, you know, hopefully he have a speedy recovery and get back out there.
Yeah, so, and look, they're going to miss him for the rest of this postseason run. I don't know how long it will take him in the offseason to next year to get back, but that's a separate issue. You mentioned something, Hugh, that I noticed right away. When he went out of that game, the Packers started throwing the ball to Josh Jacobs more out of the backfield. That feels like a problem now moving forward. They got to figure out something there because yeah, we'll see who it is. Is it Kyren Williams? Is it Aaron Jones this coming Sunday? If we get to the title game, Jahmyr Gibbs is a real problem catching the ball in the backfield. That feels like something teams are going to try to attack now. Now, Oren Burks is all right. Like, he's a fine backup, but there's a drop-off. I mean,
N'Kobe Dean, you know, paid his dues, man. Yeah. He was doing a lot out there. So, yeah, that's going to be a tough
one. Yeah, it is. 215-592-9494. The other thing that struck me when I started seeing all the injuries this weekend, specifically in the game we watched, like all the Packers dropping like flies, N'Kobe went down, just how much of an advantage that one bye is. Like, the Chiefs and Lions got to sit back and relax and watch. Meanwhile, everyone that played got banged up yesterday.
Got beat up a little bit.
Yep, yeah. It's just that bye is it helps. And doesn't mean it's everything, but it certainly helps. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here as we react to yesterday. What hit you the most, the defensive dominance or the up-and-down play of the offensive passing game? Derek is up on WIP. Hey, Derek.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Derek?
Man? Yo, shout-out to the beard, Hugh. That y'all look all right on you, though, because, you know, you real, like, Wakanda-like, so that y'all kind of come out a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was festive yesterday.
I appreciate you.
I like that, y'all. It don't look as bad as it would look on another person. Like, if you was, like, real light-skinned, that would look kind of goofy.
Like me, yeah. Like, if you
don't look...
If you were as pasty as me with a green beard, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a 302 you if I see you like that, bro. You don't look like Sirianni when he shaved his head, you know what I mean?
Maybe even worse.
They won 10 straight after that, Derek.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, like, last week we was all like, even me, I was like, hey, I'm a little nervous. He's rusty, you know. Devontae ain't practiced. AJ ain't practiced. The offense looked real rusty. They really didn't get a rhythm and all that. But on the real, I just feel like all year the Eagles have looked just like that, right? And every Monday, we say the same thing, right? In order to beat another team, they got to play a whole lot different. Da, 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 da. Like, their formula is their formula, man. And we got to rock with it until otherwise. Like, once they lose, then we can say, like, you know, this ain't good enough, that ain't good enough. But that was their 15th win yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of their games, to me, they look just like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Hurts, I'm not going to make an excuse for Hurts because he didn't play his best game. But he did some things good. Like, he ran the ball a lot tougher than I thought he would run the ball yesterday. Like, he took some hits yesterday. You know what I mean?
He did. There was the one. Do you guys notice the one where he ran to the left side?
He
got flipped upside down. And if you watch there was a replay right
after.
Hit his head. And my first thought was, are they going to send him to the medical tent just to get checked out? I guess they didn't, and he obviously was fine. But I was like, uh-oh, because I want to make sure he was all right.
Yo, real quick, before y'all cut me off, I was listening to the post game last night, and I wasn't aware that they said when Hurts went out the game against the Redskins and he tried to come back in, and then they asked him about that. Like, he didn't remember none of that happening. So his concussion was a lot more severe than I thought it was. I thought that he could have played the next week if he had to. But obviously he couldn't. So he was a little messed up from that concussion. And I think A.J. Brown, I think that he was – if you watch it, like I tried to watch the game over again this morning just to support my argument – A.J. Brown ain't look like A.J. Brown yesterday.
I agree with you, Derek. He was not running like himself.
He might have been more of a decoy yesterday than he was like a factor because you feel like Hurts wasn't even really looking his way. If you watch that game over again, like Hurts didn't look his way a lot because he just felt like A.J. wasn't A.J. You know what I'm saying?
Derek, I agree with you. I just felt he was running
at
like
all game.
Yeah, I thought A.J. was running at like 60% of what he normally does. Derek,
on that tush push play, like if that had been a regular receiver that was healthy, they could have laid out a little bit for that, but.
That was a bad throw.
He was a little, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, and I agree with you on AJ. Derek, we appreciate it, man. Hey, would you, just physically, AJ, because we know he had the knee issue and he didn't practice in it last week. He looked a step slower than normal
to me.
Yeah,
like he was hobbled a little bit. Yeah. That's something that you're concerned with. And maybe, you know, I know we're going to get into it, but I think reading that book, maybe that was the way to keep him focused. You know, I think because, you know, the unfortunate thing about AJ and the look is that we're already looking at it, and not you, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot out there, and interpreting it as being a negative, you know, because of the history and part of how do you feel about AJ? Because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that take it way beyond football and talk about, you know, he's a cancer and all this other good stuff. So it just all depends on how you interpret what he did yesterday. But I'm pretty sure that was pretty tough for him on every level.
I mean, it's very rare he plays a full game, has one catch for 10 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about one of the great players in the league. I mean, yesterday he just wasn't a big part of it. And part of that was, I think the pass game just was stuck in mud for a while. Part of it, I don't think he was running that well. And Derek Hugh mentioned that the fake tush push when Hurts threw it down the field. It was like, that was actually a cool design. It was not a great throw by Jalen. I also thought AJ was running 60 to 70% of his normal. So that's part of it too. Anthony in Southwest Phillies. What's up, Anthony?
Fellas, good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Victory Monday, Anthony.
Happy
What's up, buddy?
Victory Monday. Hey, listen, before I go, I want I've been on for like 4 hours, man, waiting to get on. So I just want to I want to say I was on the morning show, and I want to say give a thank you to Seth Joyner this morning, cuz I thought Seth was, I'm going to get to y'all in a second, but I thought Seth was exceptional. He did exactly on that morning show this morning what I expected him to do, and I appreciate him for coming on the show and adding, giving some context to Jalen Hurts' performance yesterday. We won. That's what we want to do on to, you know, the next week, whoever we play. I also want to say thank you to all of the morning show, because I thought that Joe this morning said something that I thought was, he spoke to the situation with the Sixers and the arena situation and all that kind of stuff. And as a guy who moves around this city, does a lot of work in inner city communities and all that kind of stuff, initially I thought what he said was kind of out of touch, right? And what he said was that the situation was good. It's good for us as fans and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, and Rhea and John Ritchie, they did a really good job helping clean that up because it's great for the fans, but it's great for those people who have been in Chinatown for a very, very long time. That's home to them. It's they built an, you know, a community there. I spent a lot of time down in Chinatown, so I think this is great for that community of people.
Anthony, I agree with you on that, and I was very against the idea of the new arena in where they wanted to move it. I did not like the idea. And I think this is best for everyone, Anthony. Like, when I saw the news yesterday, and we were about to do the pregame, so I really couldn't dive in, but I was happy. I still am questioning how the whole thing happened, but I think this is best for the city, Anthony. It's best for the teams, and it's best for the fans and those people who really, they got caught in the middle of all this nonsense with politics and stadiums and cities and all that.
There you go. And I ain't calling to rip on nobody or anything like that. I'm just kind of pointing it out.
No, I'm glad you did. I mean, it's something that affects, you know, everybody. I mean, especially those people. Go ahead, Anthony. Absolutely. What do you want to say about the game?
So here's my point to the game. So yesterday played out exactly how I expected it to play out, right? So everybody who is a Jalen Hurts fan, whether you're a fan or not, you know that. You know, I'm a basketball guy, right? I say this all the time. So you got certain guys in the NFL. Pat Mahomes, I'll compare him to a Steph Curry, right? From the moment he walks into the gym, he can just shoot it. That's what he does, right? He can shoot it. He can assist it. He can do all these different things. I'm a huge Jalen fan, as you guys know, but I never compared Jalen to a Steph Curry. I compare him more to like a Damian Lillard, right? Damian Lillard, I'm a big fan of his, and what he always says is, I can shoot it like Steph Curry, but I'm a guy that has to see the ball go through the rim a couple times first, right? I got to get the layups, and then I can start to pull out from deep. So when I look at the last two games, right, the Pittsburgh Steelers game and the going into the Vikings game, I think my question is more come to – I want to see more from Kellen Moore, because I think in those two games, I thought that he started to hit the nail on the head with how he started to call the games for Jalen Hurts. That Pittsburgh game, he said, okay, let's start to scheme up some things where we're getting the ball out of Jalen's hands quicker, right? In that the next game against Washington, he saw opportunities to put in some design runs for Jalen, but what he did was a lot of read option stuff because he felt that the defense could not handle them on that end. Mm. So I know we want to continuously talk about Jalen, what he can and can't. Listen, if Jalen takes this team to the Super Bowl, he will have taken two coaches to the Super Bowl that never did that before they coached him. So, you know, let's be a little bit more appreciative of what we're seeing. A lot of quarterbacks coming out of what Jalen just came out of, you know what they would have tried to go into that game and do yesterday? Play Super
Too much,
Super
yeah, game. And they would have turned it over. You're right, Anthony. You're right. He's been good at Anthony. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, Hugh, the Jalen thing is so interesting because he did a basketball analogy, right? Steph Curry and Dame Lillard. You know what? It always kind of evens out to the same thing with Jalen. Like, you look at his completion percentage and his numbers. But, Hugh, I always think of Jalen as very streaky. Like, if we're using a basketball analogy, he's a guy that finishes the game with five or six made threes, but he'll make them in stretches of three in a row and three in a row. Like, he was hot early, right? Mm-hmm. Then he went cold for a while. And then that drive where Goddard scored the touchdown, he hit those three straight passes. He goes in and out of rhythm. When he's in rhythm, Jalen can be as effective as any quarterback, but then he falls out of it, and it's like it stops for a while.
I look at Jalen like Jalen does, and I know this is going to sound bad for people that hear it, but Jalen does enough to win the game. Because I think back in the one game that sticks out to me is the Buffalo game. And you look at how that was a back-and-forth affair. And was it towards the end he threw a bomb or he ran one? It was something that he did. But I remember him standing
Zacchaeus.
There.
But
I remember him standing there like, you know, like a gladiator, like, are you not entertained?
Oh, when he ran for the touchdown and win the game. Yeah,
yeah. And so it's one of those things where I don't want to say he plays down to his talent. I think a lot of the way that Jalen played this weekend had to do with the fact that he was a little rusty. And, you know, his timing was off a little bit. But I can say that about the defense. I can say that about the offensive line, for the most part. There were plays where I can almost guarantee if you ask some of those guys, they probably felt like it took them a while to get going, to get their rhythm back. That's expected, especially when you've had off for a week. So they're going to correct those mistakes. And I don't think it's as egregious as some people might feel it is this morning. I think they're going to bounce back from this. That was it was enough of an effort, like I said last week, to beat the Green Bay Packers, because Green Bay Packers are a good team, but they're not as talented as the Eagles. They're going to clean up all those mistakes, and they're going to be ready to roll this weekend.
Well, if they are, they're going to win. And if they're not, it's going to be more of a challenge. I think what I know, Green Bay had 11 wins, and the Rams didn't, and the Vikings obviously had 14. I think this game is going to be a bigger challenge, just based on the two teams that we could see. I think it'll be the Vikings. We'll talk more about that later and who we want. I think the real challenge is starting now. 215-592-9494. We'll keep going on the phone lines. All your phone calls, say all your reaction. The Eagles 22, the Packers 10, a playoff victory. What hit you from the win? What hit you the most yesterday? Like, when you're sitting there watching it yesterday, was it the defense and their dominance, which just continued from where they've been all year? Or was it the passing game and the ups and downs throughout the game there with throwing the football? Plus, a funny moment from yesterday's game and what they had to say about it afterwards. A.J. Brown's book, What Does It All Mean? And maybe we'll dive into some passages from the book. All coming up, 215-592-9494 for the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. You know, I didn't expect to do this today. If you told me before a weekend of a playoff game that we're going to do a little reading Giglio, Hugh, I would have said, what are you talking about? It's a playoff Monday. But, Hugh, yesterday, and you referenced it, and welcome back, everyone. 215-592-9494 is how you hop in. Defense, passing game, what stood out the most to you yesterday as the Eagles move on over the Packers? Hugh, yesterday, we got to know the book Inner Excellence. Train your mind for extraordinary performance and the best possible life by Jim Murphy. So I have a couple passages here we can read and talk about. But, Hugh, what was your initial reaction when you saw that? Because it was, I'll say, different. A.J. Brown reading a book on the sideline.
My initial reaction was, what the hell is he doing? Like, initially.
Yeah.
And I was like, knowing A.J. and knowing how the media is, he did this for attention. Like, he was intentional in what he why he did this. Now, going back and hearing other people say that, you know, this is something that he's had all the time and been doing, I get that. But still, that was intentional. And then I started thinking, okay, why would he do that? And so now I started to dive into the actual author of the book. I think his name is Martin something.
Jim Murphy.
Jim Murphy or whatever.
Same thing.
And I was looking at that, and then I was looking at some of the testimonials that other people wrote for it. So I at that point, I started to give AJ the benefit of the doubt because he has to know, especially because it's him, that everything he does, especially with a game like the one that he had, it opens himself up to all types of speculation. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt in this situation. And the reason why I did that, it was because of this. Because when I look at some of the testimonials and how, you know, Jim Murphy got to where he got to the point where he wrote this book, it was more so about inner reflection and how to become a better person. And so I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. And then I went on online and just looked at some of the comments that other people had that saw the book that he was reading. Mm-hmm. And they kind of felt the same way that I did. Because it's, I think the book, you have to focus more on the book than the moment. And I feel like in that moment that he was frustrated, not so much at Jalen. I think it was at his performance and the fact that he couldn't play to the level that he wanted to play. So he had to ground himself in knowing that his self-worth, if you will. That's kind of how I looked at it. I know that's a long way of looking at it, and I know a lot of other people didn't look at it that way. But that's why I did a little bit of research before I automatically, you know, vilified him and said, you know, he's being a malcontent or anything like that. Because I felt like the book, more than anything, is the focal point of why he did what he did.
So I think the person that's the most happy today in the entire country is Jim Murphy, Jim Martin, whatever his name is, and it is Jim Murphy. Because now the book, at least as of like a half hour ago, is the number one bestseller on Amazon, The Power of the NFL. That book got a lot of play yesterday.
That's like when, what was it? It was Lane and Chris Long did the dog mess.
Yes, and they sold out.
And they sold out everywhere.
Well, that's Eagles fans. It's The Power of the NFL. So, all right, Hugh, I think what you said is an important point. The what he was reading mattered. We also found out, and James Palmer of NFL Network got a picture of A.J. in his locker yesterday, and A.J. showed him the book. He has highlighted passages, parts that are underlined, and the book's kind of beat up. And A.J. was saying he brings it to the sideline every game. It wasn't just yesterday. Like, let me give you an example, because you said the book mattered. If, let's just say yesterday he was reading a brand new copy of Just Give Me the Damn Ball by Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, you can look at that and interpret that the way you know.
That would have been a way different story. Now, my first thought, because I asked you your first thought, my first thought was it might be really intentional, and like reading, and I like to read. That's why we have Reading Giglio, right? Reading, like the symbol of reading when you're not by yourself is kind of boredom, right? Like if you have an event somewhere or you know someone, you invite someone somewhere and they bring a book, it feels like they're bored. Like that's, and maybe that was part of the message. I don't know. I don't have a problem with this because he does it all the time, apparently. And apparently it tries to help keep him calm on the sideline. So I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
But it was a weird look. It's just this. I've never seen this before.
It's his coping mechanism.
There you go.
And the unfortunate thing about most people when they see something like that, it's that was interpreted as a negative.
Mm.
And initially, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of looked at it like that.
I think we all did.
But as I took a deeper dive, which a lot of us don't like to do, because it's easier just to see it and talk about it. I wanted to get a little bit of a background of the author of the book and how did he get to the point where he wanted to write the book. I read just the excerpt, and he said something to the effect that, you know, he gave away all his belongings and he went into the desert.
This is Jim Murphy.
Yeah. And he talked about how, you know, he wondered how an Olympian could train for 4 years for one event that only lasted like 60 seconds mm-hmm. or something like that, and how, you know, the mindset that it took to get that. And then I looked at some of the testimonials of other professionals that read the book, and they talked about how it changed their lives and the way that they look at certain things.
Let me read you guys a couple of excerpts here as I was reading this morning. So this is part of the book. Quote, "We're so hard on ourselves, amplifying all our failures and regrets, that we neglect to see what's still possible, a life of freedom, filled with deep contentment, joy and confidence, independent of circumstances. We're all human with the same deep desires and concerns." Next passage, "In the pursuit of extraordinary performance, it's easy to succumb to anxiety and pressure because so much is out of your control. When you learn to live a life that is fully engaged, however, you can perform your best and love the challenge." Kyle, what'd you think as A.J. Brown has a book on the sideline?
Not something you see every day.
No.
Probably the first time I've ever seen an NFL player with a book on the sideline. If that's the alternative to him, you know, giving Jalen an earful or, you know, freaking out about not getting the ball, I'm okay with it. That was like his Frank Costanza Serenity Now moment where he's like, just, you know, be calm, be cool. I'm good with it. I think my favorite part was probably after the game when the reporters were asking him, like, what his favorite excerpt was. And, like, almost, I don't know if this was their intention, but that brought me back to the LeBron thing with the book in the post game, and they're like, "Well, what's your favorite part of the book?" He's like, "Oh, just all of it, you know."
When but LeBron AJ would actually, lie about reading.
Yeah, AJ had an answer though, so they did not catch AJ in his LeBron era.
Let's hear from AJ after the game.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it a recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But that's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it, and you know, but for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything, but you know, I gotta make sure my mental goes. So it's something like how I refresh every drive, you know, regardless of if I score a touchdown or I drop a pass. I always go back to that book every drive and just refocus, and nothing matters, nothing happened, and just rely back in, but you know, so.
Inner Excellence is the book. A.J. Brown on the sideline. Would you make of it? 215-592-9494. I think if there wasn't an explanation and he hadn't had it before, I think people would be upset about it. I think it would be viewed as like a...
Insincere.
Yeah.
Disingenuine.
Yeah, he's bored or he's annoyed.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's one of those things that it was awkward, but given the moment that he was in and the fact that he wasn't who he projects himself to be, or who he wants to be in this situation. That's why he did it. That's probably why he went out and he read the book, because it was more reaffirming where he was and help him stay grounded and not get frustrated. I don't have a problem with that, man. Like, these kids nowadays are more in tune to their feelings way more than we are. And they're allowed to express them a lot more. So I don't have a problem. If that keeps A.J. Brown from acting a whole donkey on the sideline and blowing things up, then what's the problem with it? I know a lot of people aren't going to see it like that. And I mean, that's fine. If you don't want to take the time to go, you know, try to do a deeper dive and figure out what he might be going through, that's cool. But when I saw it, it made me – I was more curious about the book and trying to interpret why was he reading it during that moment. And like I said – He didn't play well. He didn't play to his standard yesterday.
Right. Yep.
So he probably was frustrated, not so much about what Jalen was doing, about the fact that he didn't feel 100%. So he had to, you know, reassure himself about where he is and that, you know, give himself a little bit more time to get healthy.
215-592-9494. Let's hear Jalen Hurts after the game. He was asked about A.J. and inner excellence. Here's Jalen's perspective on A.J. reading on the sidelines.
Jalen, A.J. was reading on the sideline. I think you said the book was Inner Excellence. Have you seen A.J. read on the sideline during the games, and what goes through your mind when you see that? How do you think it's
I've never seen him read. I've seen the book in his hands. Everybody has a different thing and finds their flow in different ways. So that's how he chooses to do it.
That it's funny the way he framed that. Like, I've seen him have the book. I didn't see him actually read. That reminds me of the old LeBron thing when he would carry a book around during the playoffs and maybe not actually read it. But it does feel like AJ reads this one. The pictures are up of the passages he highlighted. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. What hit you the most as the Eagles move on 22-10 over the Packers? The passing game pretty choppy, as it's been a lot this year, or that dominant defense that held the Packers to 10 points? And, of course, your reaction to the Kobe injury and inner excellence, the AJ Brown book on the side. Lines moment that I didn't see coming. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Hugh, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
Hey, man, Hugh, man, you didn't look happy in that picture, man, on IG, man. I saw that. He did not look happy, man.
I was going to have my game face on.
Locked
Terrence.
In mode. We call this playoff mode, Hugh, Terrence. That's what he was in yesterday.
Yeah, but like D said, man, it look good on you though, Hugh, man. You look like you Eagles be playoff bound right now, man. You do look playoff bound.
Well, he was locked full. Just, you know, once in a while, you got to get fully locked in, Terrence. And what I had yesterday was a fully locked in Hugh Douglas for game day, Terrence.
Locked in,
Terrence. What are you feeling today,
man? First off, AJ Brown needs to stop, man. He know he was not reading that book. He was on there doing one of his antics, one of his shenanigans. He made. I know. AJ can't get mad at nobody but himself because AJ looked like an old-ass man yesterday. On them routes, and I wouldn't have threw to him either because it looked like that touch-push trick play. It looked like AJ wouldn't even try. AJ could have caught that ball. It looked like he wasn't trying, like he didn't put enough effort to grab that ball. We saw AJ make these spectacular catches before, and he didn't do it. But what stopped me the most was, man, we talk about Detroit Lions and their injuries, but the one thing Detroit was able to do, they were able to overcome and keep winning. We got adversity right now. Because without N'Kobe Dean, that's going to be a major blow. This guy had 100 and some tackles, man. He was playing at an all-pro level. And I like Burks. I know he had that turnover-worthy play the first play of the game. But they started to torch him, man, with those wheel routes with Jacobs. And we know we got running backs like Gibbs. And so forth, and they will try exploit that.
Oh, there's so no doubt. Yeah, we could see Aaron Jones and Jahmyr Gibbs the next 2 weeks. They're going to throw Hugh at Oren Burks. They're going to test him.
And Joe, I don't know if we have to blitz more or get more from our pass rush, but we're going to have to find somebody. I haven't tried him. I have to split time, but we're going to have to find somebody to come in and be an X factor at that position. As for Hurts, man, I know Hurts was coming off for the whole thing with the concussion, but I need Jalen Hurts to give me a little bit more, man. And I feel like yesterday, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I feel like they dummied down the offense a little bit to try to accommodate Jalen Hurts in that game. Because I feel like we heard the fans booing on a couple of like 3rd and 10. I don't know if Jalen checked down to these plays, but he just handed off to Saquon, and Saquon would get like 3 yards and then wouldn't get the first down on a couple of those series. So I feel like next game, I feel like Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts have to open this up more, man, because like you said, Joe, we're going to need some better effort because that's not going to cut it. I know Jalen Hurts didn't turn the ball over, but he's going to have to convert more first downs. We were 2 for 10, guys, on third down. We'll have to convert more third down to score more points versus the Detroit Lions. And we know Minnesota, you know, Addison, and we know Jefferson, them guys don't play no games, man. So I feel like Jalen Hurts is going to have to give me a little bit more. I like the win. It was a tough, gritty win. But come on, I need to take Hurts, man. Take off the rush. I need that Pittsburgh Steelers Jalen Hurts to come next week.
Yeah, well, at some point, it might be this week. It might be against the Vikings. It might be the title game. They're going to need more of the pass game. I think we all deep down know that. Terrence, appreciate it. Hugh, there were a couple yesterday. I don't know what to call it besides almost like a live to die another series. They had a 3rd and 12, 3rd and 8, and they just kind of handed a draw to Saquon, almost like they were content to punt a couple times.
You mean like the game looked like it was a little disjointed? They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it was like almost like a give-up play. Now, I understand if you're within your own 10-yard line and you don't want to have a sack in the end zone or a safety. But, Kyle, there were a couple times around the 30 or 40 where, I mean, you have AJ and Devontae. You have your quarterback on the field and healthy. It felt like they're like, let's just, you know, if Saquon breaks a run on a draw, great, but we're content punting
here. It told you everything you needed to know about the confidence level in the offense to convert a 20-yard play. If you think about, I don't know, you have, now these are the best of the best, but like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, they let them throw for that. So I don't know if it was a Hurts thing or just it was weird because that's not something you normally would expect to see from like one of the top offenses in the NFL, a lack of confidence or trust in gaining those 20 yards.
The other side, of course, is the immense trust Sirianni has in his defense. Like, we could just punt. Like, punting is not like the worst thing in the world. And I understand why he feels that now, because this defense is amazing.
But also, like, I don't know, if you have the trust in your defense, then that's something that you feel like you can afford that kind of risk if they make a mistake on trying to get that and they don't convert, right? I mean, like, you're still punting it back. I don't know, it was 3rd and 19. It's not like it was 4th and 10 or something like that. You're not giving them the ball right back there. So I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a move you make if, one, you're confident in your defense, but really, to me, very confident in your offense.
Yeah, there was also a punt they had around midfield in the first half of the game.
Yeah.
Maybe a 4th and 6. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But
it's cowardly.
It was one of those things where if the offense is humming, they might go for that. And they chose to just punt it away. I think it was from the 46 because the ball went in the end zone. So it was like a 26 net yard, you know, exchange there.
It's kind of like what Tomlin and the Steelers do. I mean, well, they don't trust their offense whatsoever. But, like,
I know.
Well, him, speaking of.
That 4th and inches Saturday.
Oh, my God.
They might as well have just packed their bags and went home then.
God.
When they punted that, I was like, oh, they're done here. Tony and Fox Chase. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Tony. What's up?
Here are my thoughts. My take on our game. The defense was stand out. Like, amazing. Our offense up and down is a little alarming, a little concerning. I'm a little afraid of that as we go deeper in. And as far as AJ reading a book on the sideline during the game, I thought it was fucking brilliant. I thought it was awesome. You know,
and Tony, it was different. I mean, I'll put it that way. It was different.
Quit being potty mouth.
Yeah, you know, I understand passion, but we just got to take a deep breath. Deep breath. Maybe go read the book before you call. Or order the book.
Yeah,
everyone
Tony
else
Tony needs Inner Excellence.
Should I order Inner Excellence? Should I read it? I'll read it. I've read Nick Nurse's book. Remember when Jalen first got here, he talked about the coffee bean? He had a book, Jalen, that he liked writing.
Coffee bean.
Yeah, it's a really short book. It's about being the... trying to be the calm, right? Everyone else is a kind of erratic and crazy around you, and you're the calm. Violet is up in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Violet, we're great. We got a playoff win. How you feeling?
I am so, so excited. I got to say, I was watching you guys on the pregame, and I'm going to try to win tickets. Hopefully, we can come to the game, and if we do, I definitely want to have a drink with you.
Well, we'll make it happen, Violet. So you're thinking about this game? You're trying to get tickets to this game coming up?
I'm going to try to win the morning one. But, you know, who knows? Either way, I really enjoy listening to you guys. And I love calling in. And I love Hugh. I love all of you guys. You guys are just great.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
We appreciate it, Violet. And we had fun yesterday. Go ahead.
You're kind of cute with your green beard.
Is that right? Thank you. Thank
you
very much.
Hey, Violet, love it. But no, we had fun yesterday, and we're excited to do it again this weekend. So, Violet, what are you feeling after yesterday?
Okay, so I have my notes written down. I am agreeing pretty much with everybody. I thought the defense was absolutely outstanding, and I knew that we were going to have a great defensive show. I am a little concerned still with Jalen, and I brought this up last week. It's not about the turnovers. He's been great with protecting the ball. I'm still, and he did better yesterday, but there was some times where he held on a little too long. I thought when he had that first pass to AJ, I thought it was brilliant. And I thought, yes, this is going to be the game. And then he had that overthrow. But then I listened to you guys, and maybe AJ wasn't 100%. So to me, I really would love to see Goddard being used more. I think he is a beast. And I really want to see both running backs being used more. I think we could be more creative with Saquon and Gainwell. I think they both have different styles that could complement this offense and Jalen, you know, to give him more confidence. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big plays down the field. Just move the ball. Move the ball. I don't care if it's short passes, you know?
And sometimes a short pass, Violet, could become something bigger. Like you mentioned Gainwell or Saquon out of the backfield. Like that pass to Goddard, that was probably, two yards from the line of scrimmage, but then Goddard took it and ran. I mean, sometimes a short pass becomes something big.
Exactly. It can turn into more. So that's just my take on it. I'm really excited. So I'm very thankful to get to watch them again. Oh, my God. What about that Redskins game last night? Goodness.
You know what?
I just love football.
Yeah. You know what we need, Violet? And we appreciate it. And good phone call. We needed you. A really back and forth to the wire game, because the first, four games of the playoffs were kind of
great.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans-Chargers game stunk at the end. Ravens, that game was over in the first half. The Bills game was on when we were doing the pregame yesterday, but just following along, they got up big on them. And then the Eagles were kind of in control the whole time. That Commanders team, Hugh, they play those kind of games, it feels like every week, goes down to the last play of the game. It's crazy.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know what? I'm starting to warm up to the fact that Dan Quinn might have been the right coach for that job, man, even though nobody wanted the job initially. It kind of feels, and I hate to say this because you know what he did down there when he got there, kind of feels like when Harbaugh got to Baltimore. You know, he wasn't their first choice. He was not their first choice, and they went kind of back and forth a little bit on his hiring. Now Dan Quinn is there. The city's in love with this young quarterback, man, and haven't won a playoff game since, what, 06?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Do you know what's really interesting about the parallel you just brought up? Do you know in John Harbaugh's first year in Baltimore, they were a 6 seed, and they went on the road, and they beat the 1 seed in the playoffs? Hugh, are you foreshadowing a Commanders win in Detroit?
Man, I'm just saying, I don't know. That would be a lot.
Because that means we get a home title game.
Yeah, that would be a lot. But Dan Quinn got them playing. They're playing well.
Yeah.
They're playing with house money. They're going to Detroit playing with house money. So they don't have anything to lose. Because I guarantee you going into this week, they're going to be told, hey, you know, it's good, but y'all about to get dragged. So it's like, what you worried about? Pull out all the stops.
Do you know what the other subplot of that game is? Ben Johnson turned them down.
Yeah, that's so what I'm saying.
They go against a coach that said,
Dan Quinn wasn't the first choice.
Yep.
And now you're playing with house money because nobody's going to pick you to win that game. So you don't have anything to lose. You're going into a hostile environment. You're probably not going to have a big fan base there because Detroit's not going to let you come in and have the home field advantage. So, yeah, they have nothing to lose. So they go out there and they can play loose. All the pressure's on Detroit.
I agree with you. Well, they're big favorites in the game, and they're home, all that stuff. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We got all your phone calls coming up here. What hit you the most from the victory? Plus, we're going to get into more of the implications on tonight's game in this 12 o'clock hour. It is the Vikings. It is the Rams. It is the Monday Night Football playoff game. The winner of tonight's game is coming here. So we know the schedule for next weekend, right? The first game on Saturday is the Chiefs and the Texans. Most thrilled about that matchup, but whatever. Chiefs move on. Saturday night, as Hugh was just mentioning, that's a fun game. The Commanders, by the way, they didn't punt in that game last night. No punts. I don't know if either team's going to punt Saturday night. Commanders and the Lions. And then we know Sunday at 3 o'clock here, we will get the winner of the Rams and the Vikings. We'll discuss who we'd rather see. Plus, we will have a Big Hugh breakdown on the other side. It's a Monday after a game. We need a Big Hugh breakdown. Hugh's going to take a look at Nolan Smith's breakout game, the youngest Eagle in history to have multiple sacks in a playoff game. What a performance yesterday by Nolan Smith. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. It's the Midday Show after an Eagles playoff victory right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. You know, I didn't expect to do this today. If you told me before a weekend of a playoff game that we're going to do a little reading Giglio, Hugh, I would have said, what are you talking about? It's a playoff Monday. But, Hugh, yesterday, and you referenced it, and welcome back, everyone. 215-592-9494, say you hop in. Defense, passing game, what stood out the most to you yesterday as the Eagles move on over the Packers? Hugh, yesterday, we got to know the book Inner Excellence. Train your mind for extraordinary performance and the best possible life by Jim Murphy. So I have a couple passes here we can read and talk about. But Hugh, what was your initial reaction when you saw that? Because it was, I'll say, different. A.J. Brown reading a book on the sideline.
My initial reaction was, what the hell is he doing? Like, initially.
Yeah.
And I was like, knowing A.J. and knowing how the media is, he did this for attention. Like, he was intentional. Why he did this. Now, going back and hearing other people say that, you know, this is something that he's had all the time and been doing, I get that. But still, that was intentional. And then I started thinking, okay, why would he do that? And so now I started to dive into the actual author of the book. I think his name is Martin something.
Jim Murphy.
Jim Murphy or whatever.
Same thing.
And I was looking at that, and then I was looking at some of the testimonials that other people wrote for it. So I at that point, I started to give AJ the benefit of the doubt because he has to know, especially because it's him, that everything he does, especially with a game like the one that he had, it opens himself up to all types of speculation. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt in this situation. And the reason why I did that, it was because of this. Because when I look at some of the testimonials and how, you know, Jim Murphy got to where he got to the point where he wrote this book, it was more so about inner reflection and how to become a better person. And so I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. And then I went online and just looked at some of the comments that other people had that saw the book that he was reading. Mm-hmm. And they kind of felt the same way that I did. Because I think the book, you have to focus more on the book than the moment. And I feel like in that moment that he was frustrated, not so much at Jalen. I think it was at his performance and the fact that he couldn't play to the level that he wanted to play. So he had to ground himself in knowing that his self-worth, if you will. That's kind of how I looked at it. I know that's a long way of looking at it, and I know a lot of other people didn't look at it that way, but that's why I did a little bit of research before I automatically, you know, vilified him and said, you know, he's being a malcontent or anything like that, because I felt like the book, more than anything, is the focal point of why he did what he did.
So I think the person that's the most happy today in the entire country is Jim Murphy, Jim Martin, whatever his name is, and it is Jim Murphy. Because now the book, at least as of like a half hour ago, is the number one bestseller on Amazon, The Power of the NFL. That book got a lot of play yesterday.
That's like when, what was it? It was Lane and Chris Long did the dog mess.
Yes, and they sold out.
And they sold out everywhere.
That's Eagles fans. It's The Power of the NFL. So, all right, Hugh, I think what you said is an important point. The what he was reading mattered. We also found out, and James Palmer of NFL Network got a picture of AJ in his locker yesterday, and AJ showed him the book. He has highlighted passages, parts that are underlined, and the book's kind of beat up. And AJ was saying he brings it to the sideline every game. It wasn't just yesterday. Like, let me give you an example, because you said the book mattered. If, let's just say, yesterday he was reading a brand new copy of "Just Give Me the Damn Ball" by Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, you can look at that and interpret that the way you know.
That would have been a way different story. Now, my first thought, because I asked you your first thought, my first thought was it might be really intentional. And like reading, and I like to read. That's why we have Reading Julia, right? Reading, like the symbol of reading when you're not by yourself is kind of boredom, right? Like if you have an event somewhere or you know someone, you invite someone somewhere and they bring a book, it feels like they're bored. Like that's, and maybe that was part of the message. I don't know. I don't have a problem with this because he does it all the time, apparently. And apparently it tries to help keep him calm on the sidelines. So I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
But it was a weird look. It's just this. I've never seen this before.
It's his coping mechanism.
There you go.
And the unfortunate thing about most people when they see something like that, that was interpreted as a negative.
Mm.
And initially, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of looked at it like that.
I think we all did.
But as I took a deeper dive, which a lot of us don't like to do, because it's easier just to see it and talk about it. I wanted to get a little bit of a background of the author of the book, and how did he get to the point where he wanted to write the book. I read just the excerpt, and he said something to the effect that, you know, he gave away all his belongings, and he went into the desert.
This is Jim Murphy.
Yeah, and he talked about how, you know, he wondered how an Olympian could train for 4 years for one event that only lasted like 60 seconds or something like that, and how, you know, the mindset that it took to get that. And then I looked at some of the testimonials of other professionals that read the book, and they talked about how it changed their lives and the way that they look at certain things.
Let me read you guys a couple of excerpts here as I was reading this morning. So this is part of the book. Quote, "We're so hard on ourselves, amplifying all our failures and regrets, that we neglect to see what's still possible, a life of freedom, filled with deep contentment, joy and confidence, independent of circumstances, We're all human with the same deep desires and concerns. Next passage, in the pursuit of an extraordinary performance, it's easy to succumb to anxiety and pressure because so much is out of your control. When you learn to live a life that is fully engaged, however, you can perform your best and love the challenge. Kyle, what'd you think as A.J. Brown has a book on the sideline?
Not something you see every day.
No.
Probably the first time I've ever seen an NFL player with a book on the sideline. If that's the alternative to him, you know, giving Jalen an earful or, you know, freaking out about not getting the ball, I'm okay with it. That was like his Frank Costanza Serenity Now moment where he's like, just, you know, be calm, be cool. I'm good with it. I think my favorite part was probably after the game when the reporters were asking him, like, what his favorite excerpt was. And, like, almost, I don't know if this was their intention, but that brought me back to the LeBron thing with the book in the post game. They're like, well, what's your favorite part of the book? He's like, oh, just all of it, you know.
When but LeBron AJ would actually lie about reading.
Yeah, AJ had an answer though, so they did not catch AJ in his LeBron era.
Let's hear from AJ after the game.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it the recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But it's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it, and you know, what's for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything, but you know, I gotta make sure I'm mentally good. So it's something like how I refresh every drive, you know, regardless of if I score a touchdown or I drop a pass. I always go back to that book every drive and just refocus, and nothing matters, nothing happened, and just relay back in, but you know, so.
Inner Excellence is the book. A.J. Brown on the sideline. What'd you make of it? 215-592-9494. I think if there wasn't an explanation and he hadn't had it before, I think people would be upset about it. I think it would be viewed as like a...
He's insincere. Yeah. Disingenuine.
Yeah, he's bored or he's annoyed.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's one of those things that it was awkward, but given the moment that he was in and the fact that he wasn't who he projects himself to be or he wants to be in this situation. That's why he did it. That's probably why he went out and he read the book, because it was more reaffirming where he was and help him stay grounded and not get frustrated. I don't have a problem with that, man. Like, these kids nowadays are more in tune to their feelings way more than we are. And they're allowed to express them a lot more. So I don't have a problem. If that keeps A.J. Brown from acting a whole donkey on the sideline and blowing things up, then what's the problem with it? I know a lot of people aren't going to see it like that. And, I mean, that's fine if you don't want to take the time to go, you know, try to do a deeper dive and figure out what he might be going through. That's cool. But when I saw it, it made me – I was more curious about the book and trying to interpret why was he reading it during that moment. And like I said – He didn't play well. He didn't play to his standard yesterday.
Yep.
So he probably was frustrated, not so much about what Jalen was doing, about the fact that he didn't feel 100%. So he had to, you know, reassure himself about where he is and that, you know, give himself a little bit more time to get healthy.
215-592-9494. Let's hear Jalen Hurts after the game. He was asked about A.J. and Inner Excellence. Here's Jalen's perspective on A.J. reading on the sidelines.
Jalen, A.J. was reading on the sideline. I think you said the book was Inner Excellence. Have you seen A.J. read on the sideline during the games, and what goes through your mind when you see that? How do you think it's
I've never seen him read. I've seen the book in his hands. Everybody has a different thing and finds their flow in different ways. So that's how he chooses to do it.
That is funny the way he framed that. Like, I've seen him have the book. I didn't see him actually read. That reminds me of the old LeBron thing when he would carry a book around during the playoffs and maybe not actually read it. But it does feel like AJ reads this one. The pictures are up of the passages he highlighted. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. What hit you the most as the Eagles move on 22-10 over the Packers? The passing game, pretty choppy, as it's been a lot this year. Or that dominant defense that held the Packers to 10 points. And, of course, your reaction to the Nakobe injury and Inner Excellence, the AJ Brown book on the side. Lines moment that I didn't see coming. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Hugh, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
Hey, man, Hugh, man, you didn't look happy in that picture, man, on IG, man. I saw that. He did not look happy, man.
I had my game face on.
Locked in mode. We call this playoff mode, Hugh, Terrence. That's what he was in yesterday.
Yeah, but like D said, man, it look good on you though, Hugh, man. You look like you Eagles be playoff bound right now, man. You do look playoff bound.
Well, he was locked full. Just, you know, once in a while, you got to get fully locked in, Terrence. And what I had yesterday was a fully locked in Hugh Douglas for game day, Terrence.
Locked in.
Terrence, what are you feeling today?
Man, first off, A.J. Brown needs to stop, man. He know he was not reading that book. He was on there doing one of his antics, one of his shenanigans. I know A.J. can't get mad at nobody but himself because A.J. looked like an old-ass man yesterday. On them routes, and I wouldn't have threw to him either because it looked like that touch first trick play. It looked like A.J. wouldn't even try. A.J. could have caught that ball. It looked like he wasn't trying, like he didn't put enough effort to grab that ball. We saw A.J. make these spectacular catches before, and he didn't do it. But what stood out to me the most was, man, we talk about Detroit Lions and their injuries, but the one thing Detroit was able to do, they were able to overcome and keep winning. We got adversity right now. Because without N'Kobe Dean, that's going to be a major blow. This guy had 100 and some tackles, man. He was playing at an all-pro level. And I like Burks. I know he had that turnover-worthy play. The first play of the game. But they started to torch him, man, with those wheel routes with Jacobs. And we know we got running backs like Gibbs and so forth. And they will try exploit that.
Oh, there's so no doubt. We could see Aaron Jones and Jahmyr Gibbs the next 2 weeks. They're going to throw Hugh at Oren Burks. They're going to test him.
And Joe, I don't know if we have to blitz more or get more from our pass rush. But we're going to have to find somebody. I haven't tried him. I have to split time. But we're going to have to find somebody to come in and be an X factor at that position. As for Hurts, man, I know Hurts was coming off for the whole thing with the concussion. But I need Jalen Hurts to give me a little bit more, man. And I feel like, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I feel like they dummied down the offense a little bit to try to accommodate Jalen Hurts in that game. Because I feel like we heard the fans booing on a couple of, like, 3rd and 10. I don't know if Jalen checked down to these plays, but he just handed off to Saquon, and Saquon would get like 3 yards and then wouldn't get the first down on a couple of series. So I feel like next game, I feel like Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts have to open this up more, man, because like you said, Joe, we're going to need some better effort because that's not going to cut it. I know Jalen Hurts didn't turn the ball over, but he's going to have to convert more first downs. We were 2 for 10, guys, on third down. We'll have to convert more third down to score more points versus the Detroit Lions. And we know Minnesota, you know, Addison, and we know Jefferson, them guys don't play no games, man. So I feel like Jalen Hurts is going to have to give me a little bit more. I like the win. It was a tough, gritty win. But come on, I need to take Hurts, man. Take off the rust. I need that Pittsburgh Steelers Jalen Hurts to come next week.
Yeah, well, at some point, it might be this week. It might be against the Vikings. It might be the title game. They're going to need more of the pass game. I think we all deep down know that. Terrence, appreciate it. Here, there were a couple yesterday. I don't know what to call it besides almost like a live to die another series. They had a 3rd and 12, 3rd and 8, and they just kind of handed a draw to Saquon, almost like they were content to punt a couple times.
You mean like the game looked like it was a little disjointed? They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it was like almost like a give up play.
I mean, yeah.
Now, I understand if you're within your own 10-yard line and you don't want to have a sack in the end zone or a safety. But, Kyle, there were a couple times around the 30 or 40 where – I mean, you have A.J. and Devontae. You have your quarterback on the field and healthy. It felt like they're like, let's just, you know, if Saquon breaks a run on a draw, great, but we're content punting
here. It told you everything you needed to know about the confidence level in the offense to convert a 20-yard play. If you think about, I don't know, you have, now these are the best of the best, but like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, they let them throw for that. So I don't know if it was a Hurts thing or just it was weird because that's not something you normally would expect to see from like one of the top offenses in the NFL, a lack of confidence or trust in gaining those 20 yards.
The other side, of course, is the immense trust Sirianni has in his defense. Like we could just punt. Like punting is not like the worst thing in the world. And I understand why he feels that now because this defense is amazing.
But also like I don't know if you have the trust in your defense, then that's something that you feel like you can afford that kind of risk if they make a mistake on trying to get that and they don't convert, right? I mean, like, you're still punting it back. I know it was 3rd and 19. It's not like it was 4th and 10 or something like that. You're not giving them the ball right back there. So I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a move you make if, one, you're confident in your defense, but really, to me, very confident in your offense.
Yeah, there was also a punt they had around midfield in the first half of the game.
Yeah.
Maybe a 4th and 6. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but
cowardly.
It was one of those things where if the offense is humming, they might go for that, and they chose to just punt it away. I think it was from the 46 because the ball went in the end zone, so it was like a 26 net yard you know, exchange there.
It's kind of like what Tomlin and the Steelers do. I mean, well, they don't trust their offense whatsoever. But, like,
I know.
Well, him, speaking of.
That fourth and inches Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
They might as well have just packed their bags and went home then. God. When they punted that, I was like, oh, they're done here. Tony and Fox Chase. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Tony. What's up?
Here are my thoughts. My take on our game. The defense was stand out, like, amazing. Our offense up and down is a little alarming, a little concerning. I'm a little afraid of that as we go deeper in. And as far as AJ reading a book on the sideline during the game, I thought it was fucking brilliant. I thought it was awesome. You know,
and Tony, it was different. I mean, I'll put it that way. It was different.
Quit being potty mouth.
Yeah, I understand passion, but we just got to take a deep breath. Deep breath. Maybe go read the book before you call. Or order the book, everyone else.
Tony needs Inner Excellence.
Should I order Inner Excellence? Should I read it? I'll read it. I've read Nick Nurse's book. Remember when Jalen first got here, he talked about the coffee bean? He had a book, Jalen, that he liked writing.
Coffee bean.
Yeah, it's a really short book. It's about being the... trying to be the calm, right? Everyone else is a kind of erratic and crazy around you, and you're the calm. Violet is up in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Violet, we're great. We got a playoff win. How you feeling?
I am so, so excited. I got to say, I was watching you guys on the pregame, and I'm going to try to win tickets. Hopefully we can come to the game. And if we do, I definitely want to have a drink with you.
Well, we'll make it happen, Violet. So you're thinking about this game? You're trying to get tickets to this game coming up?
I'm going to try to win the morning one. But, you know, who knows? Either way, I really enjoy listening to you guys. And I love calling in. And I love Hugh. I love all of you guys. You guys are just great.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. And we had, listen, we had fun yesterday. Go ahead.
You're kind of cute with your green beard.
Is that right? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Violet, love it. Now, we had fun yesterday, and we're excited to do it again this weekend. So, Violet, what are you feeling after yesterday?
Okay, so I have my notes written down. I am... agreeing pretty much with everybody. I thought the defense was absolutely outstanding, and I knew that we were going to have a great defensive show. I am a little concerned still with Jalen, and I brought this up last week. It's not about the turnovers. He's been great with protecting the ball. I'm still, and he did better yesterday, but there was some times where he held on a little too long. I thought when he had that first pass to AJ, I thought it was brilliant, and I thought, yes, this is going to be the game. And then he had that overthrow, but then I listened to you guys, and maybe AJ wasn't 100%. So to me, I really would love to see Goddard being used more. I think he is a beast, and I really want to see both running backs being used more. I think we could be more creative with Saquon and Gainwell. I think they both have different styles that could complement this offense and Jalen, you know, to give him more confidence. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big plays down the field. Just move the ball. Move the ball. I don't care if it's short passes, you know?
And sometimes a short pass, Violet, could become something bigger. Like you mentioned Gainwell or Saquon out of the backfield. Like that pass to Goddard, that was probably, two yards from the line of scrimmage, but then Goddard took it and ran. I mean, sometimes a short pass becomes something big.
Exactly. It can turn into more. So that's just my take on it. I'm really excited. So I'm very thankful to get to watch them again. Oh, my God. What about that Redskins game last night? Goodness.
You know what?
I just love football.
Yeah. You know what we need, Violet? And we appreciate it. And good phone call. We needed you. A really back and forth to the wire game, because the first four games of the playoffs were kind of
great.
Yeah, I mean the Texans Chargers game stunk at the end. Ravens, that game was over in the first half. The Bills game was on when we were doing the pregame yesterday, but just following along, they got up big on them. And then the Eagles were kind of in control the whole time. That Commanders team, Hugh, they play those kind of games. It feels like every week goes down to the last play of the game. It's crazy.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know what? I'm starting to warm up to the fact that Dan Quinn might have been the right coach for that job, man, even though nobody wanted the job initially. It kind of feels, and I hate to say this because you know what he did down there when he got there, kind of feels like when Harbaugh got to Baltimore. You know, he wasn't their first choice. He was not their first choice, and they went kind of back and forth a little bit on his hiring. Now Dan Quinn is there. The city's in love with this young quarterback, man, and haven't won a playoff game since what, 06?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Do you know what's really interesting about the parallel you just brought up? Do you know in John Harbaugh's first year in Baltimore, they were a 6 seed and they went on the road and they beat the 1 seed in the playoffs? Hugh, are you foreshadowing a Commanders win in Detroit?
Man, I'm just saying, I don't know. That would be a lot.
Because that means we get a home title game.
Yeah, that would be a lot. But Dan Quinn got them playing. They're playing well.
Yeah.
They're playing with house money. They're going to Detroit playing with house money. So they don't have anything to lose. Because I guarantee you going into this week, they're going to be told, hey, you know, it's good, but y'all about to get dragged. So it's like, what you worried about? Pull out all the stops.
Do you know what the other subplot of that game is? Ben Johnson turned them down.
Yeah, that's so what I'm saying.
They go against a coach that said,
Dan Quinn wasn't the first choice.
Yep.
And now you're playing with house money because nobody's going to pick you to win that game. So you don't have anything to lose. You're going into a hostile environment. You're probably not going to have a big fan base there because Detroit's not going to let you come in and have the home field advantage. So, yeah, they have nothing to lose. So they go out there and they can play loose. All the pressure's on Detroit.
I agree with you. Well, they're big favorites in the game and they're home, all that stuff. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We got all your phone calls coming up here. What hit you the most from the victory? Plus, we're going to get into more of the implications on tonight's game in this 12 o'clock hour. It is the Vikings. It is the Rams. It is the Monday Night Football playoff game. The winner of tonight's game is coming here. So we know the schedule for next weekend, right? The first game on Saturday is the Chiefs and the Texans. Most thrilled about that matchup, but whatever. Chiefs move on. Saturday night, as Hugh was just mentioning, that's a fun game. The Commanders, by the way, they didn't punt in that game last night. No punts. I don't know if either team's going to punt Saturday night. Commanders and the Lions. And then we know Sunday at 3 o'clock here, we will get the winner of the Rams and the Vikings. We'll discuss who we'd rather see. Plus, we will have a Big Hugh breakdown on the other side. It's a Monday after a game. We need a Big Hugh breakdown. Hugh's going to take a look at Nolan Smith's breakout game, the youngest Eagle in history to have multiple sacks in a playoff game. What a performance yesterday by Nolan Smith. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. It's the Midday Show after an Eagles playoff victory right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.